Hey, it's Herbert, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch. Oh, it's comedy in your ears, which we all love.
You're listening to the About Last Night podcast with my boy, Adam Ray.
Yes. Yay. Hey. Yay. We did it. Yes. All right. Well, it's good to see you. Thanks for coming on.
I'm so sorry. I don't know what I did.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Tyler and I were just praising Zoom and then.
Did it.
Oh, fucking here we are, guys. Look at this.
We did it.
We win at Zoom, at podcast. Adam, you have a really fancy setup right now, and I'm very jealous. Like,
do I? Oh, yeah. Oh, the Holiday Inn Express backdrop is really Zoom actually might be adding this in its queue of, the curtains. I actually framed the camera away from the hotel art that's behind me because it's like a pet cemetery. Like, look, hotel art has never been like something you see and you go, babe, why don't we have that? But I do want to know where they get the art from. Do you guys – now, your backgrounds are pretty clean, you know, which I appreciate. Do you guys – if you could put one thing behind you right now, what would you put that would kind of – and I know you guys were like, hey, is this guy going to come with the hard-hitting questions right out of the gate? And, yeah, we are getting right into it. So
I'd like some hotel art. I'd like some hotel art.
Oh, for real?
I didn't know if you wanted us, like, in a closet. Heard that you know is good for the acoustics.
Who the fuck is asking you to be in a closet for an interview?
Oh my god! The number of hours I've spent in the past 3 weeks in a closet,
like, well, for VO, right?
For VO, free VO. Yeah, but I started out by trying to get like the most acoustically good results. So it started out with my son's bunk bed, and I stole every duvet and pillow and made this like kind of
report.
And then the next thing was taking like a play tent and I duct taped 7 moving blankets around it.
Holy shit.
And then,
can you make a fort for my next birthday party? You seem like you've got
pretty good dialed.
I'm pretty good at forts.
I don't have a lot of talents, but forts and limbo and writing.
Kind of all you need, if I'm being honest.
That?
Kind of all you need, if I'm being honest.
Is all you need.
Wait, so what would you guys put up? If you could put up something right now.
I would do a picture of myself. You know?
Yeah.
Just to like really make sure everybody knows who I am, you know?
Yeah, when they come into the room, who lives there?
Totally. And just so you have like some joy. Every time you look, you're like, wow, that's fucking awesome.
Now, Ty, would it be just like would it be like a glamour shots, like mall headshot, or would it like one of these where they're like,
no, it would be like the best picture I've ever taken myself.
Right.
Like that one, you know? Just because like I don't have a great self image. And so I feel like if I could remember the one time I looked at it, that would be important for me every day when I wake
up.
You know?
Good to see this pandemic's not taking a stab at your self-worth, Ty. I texted Ty. Sarah, I didn't have your number, but I could have hit you up on LinkedIn, I guess, if I was a true professional.
I don't have LinkedIn. I don't have any of the things. I'm not LinkedIn.
Okay. This has been Sarah and Tyler. Good to see you guys. Yeah. No. Who does have LinkedIn, by the way? When I get LinkedIn invites from people that I went to college with, I'm like, dude, you have my number. And also, like, what are we going to get to on LinkedIn that we can't get to, like, on any of the other platforms? You know what I'm saying?
It's gross. It's gross. My brother-in-law does that all the time. And I'm just like, dude, stop it.
Oh, sends LinkedIn invites?
Yeah. And to all my contacts too.
So what happens different. When you're LinkedIn? Like, what does that world look like?
Oh, Sarah, I wish I could give you a full update on that part of my life, but I have yet to double click and submit myself to the world of what LinkedIn offers, which, look, I'm not saying, you know, I haven't experienced it. So it could be this grand world. It could be the online version of the hotel I'm staying at, you know what I'm saying? Where it's just fucking cookies and hand jobs. And you're like, this place rules. Why did I turn it down so often? So look, the Wrong Mussy is one of the
hotel has not only the pet art, but also cookies and hand jobs. It's like a whole,
well, that's the name of the hotel. So it would be a real bad business move if they didn't offer that, what they, you know, there's a big sign out front. Weird. Actually, only cookies is lit up and hand jobs isn't. I'm like, could you not afford the marquee lighting?
There's also a lot of electricity to light up that extra.
Well, in a pandemic, you got to save. You got to save light. You got to save light and then put it in your. All right. So your guys's movie is, and I texted Ty this, and like I was saying, so I didn't have your info. It's one of the funniest movies I've seen in a long time, and I am very critical of comedies. It was, I watched it with my dad, who's 76, and my brother and his wife. We all laughed the whole time. So you're, first of all, you're hitting every age range. And like a good comedy for me, scene for scene, should be packed of jokes and tug at the heartstrings enough story-wise so that you're like invested. And then just hit me with a lot of funny. And man, you guys crushed it. Ty, I think it's your best film to date. And by the way, if you Google Tyler Spindell Films, you come up as an actor. So, which I know, I don't want to skip on that part of your career. You were great in Funny People. Actually, give me the look that you made in Funny People real quick so the fans can get a taste. There it is. You were so good. Yeah, it was that.
That's the look for your wall. For your
poster. Yeah, oh!
That's the pic. Oh, wait, let me take a screenshot of that.
That's the pic.
So contemplative. But yeah, big congrats. And I was just telling Ty, or, you know, getting a confirmation that it's still number one on Netflix globally. That's fucking bonkers. I mean, look, you guys have both done a lot of cool shit, been a part of the biggest shows of all time, Sarah. So, is it like just par for the course when you're like, yeah, dude, number one. Yeah. Oh, number one in Denmark again. Yeah.
Yeah, fucking Brazil loves it too.
Oh, they've seen Scrubs? Yeah, I get it. I'm a global superstar. You know what I'm saying? Or were you like, fuck? Because I was saying, like, you make a movie, you don't know. He's like, we knew it was good, but you just don't.
You know. Oh, my God. I mean, that's a thing. You never know how things are going to be received. But we had so much fucking fun making it. I mean, it was kind of insane. It's hard to believe that was like a year ago. We were all living in Hawaii, and I mean
shaking hands and hugging
and just like being 2 feet from someone.
Hugging is now an old school move, like, it's gonna be like, remember when we were in Brazil and hugging, you know?
It's we had such like a stupid amount of fun, and obviously you know, laughing with that group of people, it was stupid. I mean, all those people made me laugh so hard. And, you know, even not just obviously off camera as well, but on camera all the time. Like, I think, you know, Tyler can tell you, with the gag reel, I have a hard time sometimes when people make me laugh, especially if it's later at night. And,
Delirious.
You get delirious.
Yeah.
Not too much coffee or not enough sleep. And it gets to the point where, I mean, on Scrubs, it was literally one sound that people would make, and I'd be just like, I guess we have to wrap.
Shut down the production.
Shut down. It's a force majeure, guys.
Yeah.
Lauren Lapkus would do something different every take.
Fuck.
And
Freak in nature.
So funny. So funny. Spade was so dry and so deadpan.
Oh, Spade was classic Spade. And I don't know if, Ty, you like had a talk with him pre-shoot, and you were like, give me the goods. Give me Spade that we all know and love. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah. It's like, give me the best fucking Spade I've ever seen. And that was it. That's all you have to say. You know? I mean,
that was it.
I just took a nap for the rest of the movie. I was like, we're good.
Can you, though, like, sit back? I mean, he's another guy that's done you know, worked, and this is your second movie with him, but you were all on, I think, you know, on a handful of Sandler films with him. So you probably have rapport, but it's obviously different when you're the guy calling the shots. So do you, because you guys are homies, do you kind of hit him up pre-movie to talk? Or you just kind of like, I trust you're going to do your shit and we'll figure it out when we get there and have fun?
I mean, you know, we had dinner like a month or two before the shoot. We just kind of talked about it and like, you know, yeah, I mean, we talked about the character and how he's going to play it. And then, you know, we did a rehearsal, maybe two rehearsals before with him and Lauren, and it was just kind of right on. So I, honestly, with him, you don't have to do much. It's like, it's pretty easy. So I wish there was like some secret or something, but it's like, when you have a guy who's that good, it's just like, all right, well, let him fucking, just don't ruin it, you know?
Would you guys all kind of stick to, like, is there a process with like, let's get our couple takes of like what we have down, but then like, you know, when you've got this cast, you obviously want to let everybody do their thing. You didn't hire them just to like speak words, that you want them to like bring all, use all the weapons at their disposal, right?
Yeah. I mean, what would you say, Sarah? We do a couple takes of the script and then it was just like, let's fucking riff and see what happens and let's let everybody else make me look good, you know? It's like, some of the, I think my favorite parts of the script are the improvs, and like what Sarah did and Lauren and, you know, David, it's just like, it's fucking, you know, you can never beat what some, what they're going to do off the cuff, you know?
Yeah. Sarah, had you,
and it was really,
oh, go ahead.
It was really cute too. Like just that, you know, people would be giving each other ideas all the time too. And that was just like,
oh, that's cool.
Neat collaborative part of it. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you'd be doing a scene sports and be like, oh, hey, Rob, try this. And they would just, everybody would kind of shoot shit at each other, which was great too.
Yeah, that doesn't always happen where people are that generous and kind of selfless with like, hey, I thought of something really funny that I could say, but it actually, you know, maybe it's too close to this joke I'm going to say. So maybe you say it, right? Like that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sharing material. It's a nice thing. It's a community, you know?
Was Hawaii like where the script was based, or were you like, where can we have the most fun? Where can we get fucked up, but it'll feel like we're working?
Written around Hawaii, but then we were like Puerto Rico, tax rebate, and then we're just like Hawaii. And you know what? Hawaii had some better locations, and we love Puerto Rico too. They had just done the do-over in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
So we didn't want to repeat locations that he had already shot at. So that's why we did Hawaii. We were also thinking about this place in Africa, but it was, you know, it was too far.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. I didn't hear that part of the story. That's nuts.
Yeah, you probably would have said no to the movie. That's why.
No. Africa is top of my list. I can't wait to go in 2090 million.
Yeah. The animals will come take a safari here before we go there.
Totally.
But that's top of my list too, is an African experience. Yeah. What did you guys, Ty, do you kind of outline the cast for who you want when you start, or is it, did you kind of go traditional casting? Because I feel like you guys, had you guys worked together before, or was this the first time?
This is the first time.
Okay, cool. Oh man. Yeah. You seem, when I was watching, I was like, cause you got some familiar Sandler film faces, you know, with Schneider and Swartzen. And I was like, and even seeing Sarah, you in it, I was like, it made sense and it felt very familiar. And I was like, oh yeah, like she's a part of this clan too, but that's crazy that this was the first one.
I wish I could take credit for the idea of Sarah, but it was my girlfriend. She just literally kept yelling at me, and I was like, yes, I know, it's a great
that's
idea.
Awesome.
Let's go, what are you doing? I'm like, yes. She's literally the biggest fan. It was such a great decision.
Did you have to put a scene on tape? Did you have to put the sex scene on tape, or what'd you do?
I just forwarded him all the ones I already have on tape.
Oh, great. Yeah. You know, and this is why you have to think outside the box, you know, and also great. Look, a lot of people were like, should I work at a casting office? Should I make YouTube videos? It's like, look, if you're into threesomes, tape all of them, because there's going to come, if you like to play tennis, like tape your tennis like lessons. So you have the footage to submit.
Because maybe on the day that you have to send that in, you're busy and you don't have time to do that. You don't have, but you already have it in the bank. You have it in the library.
Yeah. So you just hit up your ex and you go, hey, can you just send me a quick time? You're like, oh, I'm sorry, sweetheart. Can you put your daddy on? Yeah. No, we used to fuck. Hello. Yeah. So hello. What was there an audition, or did you kind of
We just offered it to you, right?
I think so. Yes, you did. But I think I had put myself on tape for Lauren's part.
Oh, cool, cool, cool.
A month before that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And obviously couldn't have done come close to what she did with it. She was so incredible.
Would have been different. Yeah. Had you met her before?
No, but it was love at first sight.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah.
She's hard to not fall in love with.
Kept in touch, and she's, yeah, just absolutely not only one of the funniest people, but also one of the nicest. Like, so it was really fun because obviously when you're on a location shoot, you're that sort of like your group and your family for that 7 weeks. So we would all go for dinner and watch, The Bachelor in Spade's room. Everybody would go there to watch that. And then we'd have dinner every once in a while. And it was crazy, crazy fun.
Yeah, it would. Oh, go ahead.
Just what you're saying about it being, was it in always planned to be in Hawaii? So we got there and I remember checking into the hotel in Waikiki and I'm checking in and I'm like, yeah, I'm here for, they're like, you're checking in for 5 nights. I was like, I think it's like 50 or something like that.
The and Bellman are the ones that tell you that your scenes have been cut down.
Totally. I'm like, no, it's actually 5. And I'm thinking, hi, I guess. Yeah. Maybe it's, I thought it, I packed enough to last. Okay, I guess I can. And then, because we didn't know, but what had happened was, is that because so much of it was being filmed at the Four Seasons, they were like, it's probably going to be easier if you just stay there. So that was incredible.
Whoa.
Four Seasons, yeah, it was really awful. I'd wake up in the morning before my scenes and take like a swim in the lagoon.
Oh my God. You're starting your day with lagoon swims?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Yeah, it does. It's a huge benefit. And you could tell, obviously, like the chemistry on screen. Like I was going to say, you guys must have had a lot of time to kick it because, you know, you hope and assume on a comedy that's going to be the case. But shit, man, there can be some people, I guess, that are maybe introverts or just like, I like to work. And then I go back, I fucking shower and I watch my shows and I go to bed. And you're like, yeah, but we're all going to have dinner. I said, I go to bed and I have a schedule. And you're like, all right, cool. I guess those scenes are going to be weird. I was so pumped to hear that you guys were like getting along like that. Was Bobby Lee out there the whole time?
Just for what, like 2 days, 3 days?
Yeah, he was so quick in and out because he was coming there, and then he was like coming straight from doing stand-up.
Magnum PI, right? Or okay.
Yes, I think.
Okay, cool. Wow, just for a quick day. That's crazy. Was do you kind of give any, I don't know, advice to, like, obviously Lauren's been working for a minute, but you're like a comedy vet and like just, you know, obviously, you know how to do it. Did you kind of like, I don't know, did you guys kind of talk about the work at all? Or do you just kind of like try it when like let people do their shit? Or did she go to you and be like, hey, like, was there something funnier I could do here or this and that? Or
No, she just ripped right through it. She's so funny. And it was more, we showed up and there wasn't a lot of, you know, when I got there, we didn't rehearse.
Yeah.
Yeah, just go for it.
Were there any other Canadians in the film from Ottawa? Or were you kind of representing solo? Were you?
I was representing solo as a boot, the only one there, I think.
I'm sorry, what was that you said?
I think everybody helped like with the translations, you know, when things got dicey. Yeah. Like if I dropped a toque or a carburetor or a parkade or something.
Yeah, like, do you guys know if the gift shop's open? I need some deodorant. And they're like, what is it? Like, we don't know what you're saying, Sarah, so.
Yeah. And then Lauren would like step in and she'd be like, no, she's saying like deodorant. Like I'd be like, you know, the thing that helps you.
Boy,
not.
It's that. Yeah. This is why you need friends. Did you guys, well, first of all, you've come a long way since City Boy. I just want to say, Sarah, this is, you've grown a lot as a performer.
Oh my God. City Boy. I was like 15. And I remember my very first day on that job, it was a time period piece. And I had on this like, you know, all this like very fancy clothes. And I was carrying all these packages. And my first scene, I'm supposed to bump into this guy and be so smitten. I drop all my packages and then I'm quickly picking up the packages. So we do a take and we go to do the next take. And the continuity supervisor comes up to me and she's like, oh, so on this word, you picked up this brown wrapped parcel that looks exactly like this brown shaped wrap parcel that you picked up on this line. And when you said this word, you picked up the one that's a little larger. And I thought she was joking. And I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, it's called continuity. And I was like, okay.
That was, so you were a child actor.
Ish. I mean, I didn't really start until I was 17 on Roseanne. But before that, it was only little things here and there. You know, all the Disease of the Week movies that were shooting in Canada at the time.
Welcome to King's Guado Hotel. May I have your last name, please?
Good morning, ma'am. Can I help you?
Oh, my, what happened? Oh,
bellmen are clumsy and stupid.
Stella Bellman, you've had this job since high school, right?
Well, actually, no. I am the bell captain.
Oh. All right, kid. You ready for check-ins?
I was born.
I think he was going to say I was born ready.
Steve, the captain. Captain Steve.
The closest thing we have to a god on Earth. Gunther Gachamone!
It's worse than I thought.
He's a complete slime ball, right?
Oh, yeah, no question.
Do you feel my foot on your foot?
That's not me.
There's something under the table that feels like a foot.
What are you doing right now?
I'm working.
I got a promotion.
I just lied to Kelly.
Why would you do that?
I don't know, man. I just want another shot.
Sid Whitman worked his way up the ladder and bought the hotel.
He's the boss.
Do me a favor. Take it easy on the bellman, would you?
I'd rather have crack guard melt my balls.
Take care, boys.
I mean, it's a huge scam. And those girls were in on it, too.
Don't you want to know what our bodies are capable of?
Girl, yes. Oh, definitely. I just work here during the day, but my nights is off.
Let's do this!
Gunther is conning everyone with Spirifresh.
You broke into a guest room!
This is unacceptable!
He has been impersonating a manager, and that is a felony.
I don't think that's a felony.
He should be fired!
Get set!
Go! Bunch of really real G's burning trees to be low, sitting by 45 like I'm Jordan on the flow. Here we go, guess the brain is what they say my name for.
I mean, I'm not sure he's ready for.
Shut up, bitch.
With our minds, we begin to urinate and then, for real, into our pants.
I'm unforgettable.
So you went from City Boy to Roseanne. That's fucking crazy. It's like me going from playing Wolverine at Universal Studios to According to Jim Guest Star. That's like that's like a fucking career rocket ship.
I was I had no fucking clue what I was doing. I literally get onto set and it's like 10 of the most incredible comedians you can possibly imagine. And yeah, it was crazy. Like I remember I was 16 when I auditioned, and the audition scene was with Glenn Quinn, who played Mark, and he was 8 years older than me and Irish and stunningly gorgeous. And the whole scene was making out with him. It was literally like, he's like, baby, baby, come here. And I'm like, get a job at the gas station. Get a job at the gas station, baby. And
classic.
There were 8 Beckys lined up in matching Becky shirts. Like they had us all put on this pink Hawaiian long sleeve Becky shirt, and they put us through hair and makeup, and they put us on the soundstage, and they were calling out camera numbers, and they were, you know, putting the laugh track and seeing if you could kind of make out with this handsome 24-year-old Irishman while remembering your lines. So I did that audition, and I went home to Canada. They flew me out for the night, so I got like to stay in this Sheraton in, you know, the valley, and I couldn't believe it. And then they said, we'll tell you in 7 days. And so the night before the 7 days was up, they said, get on a plane tomorrow and come do an audition with Roseanne. So then it was down to 4 of us, and we sat on the infamous couch.
Oh my God.
Roseanne. And she was like, how old are you? And I was like, I'm 16. And all the other girls were 21 and living in Los Angeles. And she's like, how old are you really? And I'm like, I mean, the thought of lying about your age would never have occurred to me. I was like, I'm 16. And so then they said, okay, well, you know, we'll tell you in a week. So they call me back and they say, you got the job. And I went to a party that night. I was in grade 11, which is Canadian for 11th grade. And I told like 2 people, and it spread around our high school. Like, because it just sounded so weird, right? Like, it sounded insane. It's, I mean, it was the number one show at the time, and I was going to take the place of Becky. Like, it didn't even make sense because they hadn't announced they were doing that. And
whoa. And,
so it sounded like a lie. So it goes around our high school like crazy. And then on Monday morning, the Roseanne show calls me and they said, we're getting cold feet about changing the Beckys. So we're going to put you on hold for 4 months. We're going to give you $10,000 to hold you for 4 months. And we're going to tell you in September.
Like, well, we're going to pay you in poutine. We hope that's okay.
Totally. And teal, which is like the maple syrup on the snow.
Yes, I'm familiar.
You got it.
Yeah.
So I was like,
oh, that's shitty.
I was like, okay, so my ass is grass at high school.
So everyone's like trying to pump you up. So for 4 months, you have to kind of like go along like half-heartedly. Like, yeah, it's going to be great if it happens. We don't know yet.
And we'd already had this girl in our grade, in like grade 8, lie about being on the Mini Pops. Do you remember? The Mini Pops was like a Canadian. The Mini Pops was, it was this like group of kids who sang covers and dressed in this like amazing 80s wear, and they were so cool and like we couldn't believe them. So this one day, Rebecca said she was a Mini Pop and she was not a Mini Pop. And so in my head the whole time, I'm like, this is like Mini Pops times 90,000.
By the way, when you commit to a lie as a kid, you got to go for it. Jess LaCasse at Lake Forest Park Elementary told everybody his dad invented Little Caesars. We had no reason to believe he did not. Because as a kid, you have no ability to fact check. So he's like, yeah. He also bragged that he was fucking in like the fifth grade. So we're like, dude, he's got pizza and he's got pussy coming up the yin yang. And then like you get to high school and you're like, he didn't invent Little Caesars. You're like, I know. I thought he did. I don't know. And you're like,
right. Especially before Google.
Oh yeah, no way to call anybody out. That is crazy. Wait, so then you get the job, and that's just, is that like a here we go Hollywood thing? You move and you got to be an LA resident full on. Yeah,
sort of. So I was like 16 when I auditioned, 17 when I started. My agent was like young 20s, and I said to him, what are these hiatus weeks they speak of? Like, can I go back to Canada? Because they were shooting 2 or 3 weeks on, 1 week off. And I was like, can I go back to Canada on those weeks? Because it was my grade 12 year and I wanted to graduate with my buddies. And he was like, I don't know. And I was like, well, can you find out? Because I can't do it if I'm not allowed to do that. And his jaw was like, oh my God. He was like, you're just not going to go do that because you want to go to the parties at the power lines. So we found out I could indeed go back on the hiatus week. So I would fly out Sunday night and I would do this weird milk run from like, we would drive from Vancouver to Bellingham. And then the flight was like Bellingham, SeaTac, Burbank. I don't even understand it. Why did we do that? So it took forever. And then, we'd shoot from Monday to Thursday. Tape night was Thursday night. And then I would fly back Friday morning and I'd go to school on Friday afternoon. In Vancouver.
Were tape nights just electric?
It was crazy.
Right? Like Oprah tapings, I feel like.
It was craziness. I mean, people were pumped. Like it was obviously the live audiences were so, so into it. And they tried to have as few people from the industry in the audience. So it was, you know, they would have real fans of the
show. True fans laughing, yeah.
Fans laughing. And it was crazy. Like they would do these introductions right at the beginning.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I think you already forgot I did one episode of According to Jim. So I know, I know that when you come out, they announce you, everyone goes nuts. Like, why isn't this guy on the show more? So I get it. So it's like, when you right, first
they
came out,
from the audience, they're like, get him on.
They're like, let's get him on. Everyone's like, hey, what's that water boy doing? And I'm like, oh, do you want me to? And like, no, we're pointing to the actual water boy. What's he doing? Can he bring us some water? So when they announce your name and you come out for the first time, is that just like, you feel like you made it and you're like, here we go, right?
It was really nuts, but it was a combination of like such an incredible opportunity, obviously. And I learned so much. I mean, just watching like Laurie Metcalf, I mean, what she does with you read it on the script and then she does it. Like it's not even possible. Like to be that young and get to watch those people work was incredible. And at the same time, it was also really crazy as a kid who, like you said, like, I mean, I had literally done nothing. I'd done City Boy and learned about continuity, but.
So
I was learning on the job.
Wow. And
so I definitely, the piece of it that was crazy was, it was like stepping into not only amazing writing and an incredible cast, but the number one show. And so what the cast had to do to kind of keep their safety and their, you know, their privacy it was the first time I'd ever seen any of that. So everybody would get in their dark cars, and Roseanne had her chauffeur, and you know, the like tinted windows, and be so private. And that piece as a young kid was a little bit, it was just, I hadn't seen anything like that before.
Yeah.
So that, it was that, I think that was the hard part. The best part about it obviously was all the obvious things. Like, it was an incredible opportunity and I fucking loved it. But the hard part was more like stepping into a job like that. And then all of a sudden going from complete obscurity to people recognize you in the street when you're kind of like at that age where you just kind of want to blend.
Yeah. People now are thinking you're Becky and not Sarah. Right. So it's like, there's that too, where your family's even like, boy, if you can invite John Goodman over for Thanksgiving, that'd be great. And you're like, all right, Mom. I mean, I'll see what I can do, but you know, he's, you know, he's doing the good man, good, charity dinner this year. So, Tyler, that's probably, that's kind of the same for you. Yeah. Like being on, I mean, so many Sandler sets and directing all the Chelsea Lately sketches. Do you both kind of feel that everything you've done prior to this, like, do you feel like this movie, because you're both at a place where I feel like got all the goods now to where you're like, yeah, I don't really, I'm kind of relying on everything I've done to this point. Obviously, like every experience, you kind of tack on more stuff to feel like, you know, and trust yourself more. But Ty, were you?
This is the only thing I'm ever showing anybody ever again. Everything else I've done, I'm erasing off the internet.
No,
you know, I'm trying to just watch it all. No, I'm very proud of all the other stuff. But
What about your MySpace Valentine's Day video?
That one was not bad.
That was great.
That one was not bad. That's when I used to act, Sarah.
I've not seen this. This is my first activity. As soon as we hang up.
Oh yeah. Man, Ty. This is how we first met. When MySpace was a thing, and people got some comedy videos up. Ty was had a 4 or 5 popping up in that main feature page, and this Valentine's Day video was great. You're like, oh, this is when I was like, oh, he's a filmmaker too. I thought he was just an actor, but
well, I didn't direct that.
You're just in it?
Yeah, I was just, well, I wrote it, and my buddy Payman.
You wrote it? That's right. Oh, that's Payman. That's
like
right.
A really great director too, who's like does Last Man on Earth. He does Seth Rogen's show now. He directed it. We're both doing nothing. And
Payman's the man. Yeah. Wait, so how much during when you're assistant directing on all these Sandler films, how much are you trying to, you know, take all the experience and just you're watching a lot, obviously you're having to run the ship too. How do you balance that of trying to just like, are you making notes? Are you putting stuff in your phone of like, oh shit, that was a new thing I picked up today? Or is it all just like post shoot? You maybe sit down with Adam or producers and kind of rehash the day so you can kind of go, all right, now I'm flexing that muscle for next time.
You know, what I do is called second unit directing, which is basically like they send you off like anything they forget, right? Like let's say they forget a shot of Jennifer Aniston's hand and we have a double or something, or like, you know, or the stunts or the helicopter shots. So it's cool because the director, you know, the first unit director will tell you exactly what they want. And so you really get to learn from them and, you know, just try to execute their vision. And you get a lot of tips along the way, you know, they'll tell you like, oh, we want the lighting to do this. And you're like, oh, okay, that's a good idea. I wouldn't have thought of that. And like, they're like, maybe try this angle. And you get there like, oh, that's a smart angle. So it's cool. I mean, I've had the benefit of, I think I've done 8 of them, you know, learning from maybe 6 or 7 great directors. I mean, I got the opportunity to like, you know, I shadowed Seth Gordon, who's amazing. Like I've really gotten an opportunity to shadow a lot of great people.
Yeah.
Like I got to hang out on Funny People a little bit too, and like see Apatow work, and you know, I'm even on his whatever, but like, it was just cool to see how he does it, you know, and just try to like emulate him a little bit.
Sarah, was there something that, you learned about like working with Tyler? Cause you guys, this again, it was your first thing was did people kind of give you a heads up about the way Tyler works, or do you kind of go in just completely blind and go, he's obviously knows what he's doing. Like, is it collaborative? Do you kind of chime in too? Cause you know what you're doing, or do you just kind of sit back and go, man, tell me what to do and I'm going to do it.
It was, you know, Tyler, the best thing that he could have done was like set the tone he sets. I mean, it's such a fun set to walk onto because he sets this very calm tone, which I never understand. Like, I can't imagine the kind of pressure that you're under when you're trying to get that kind of material in that amount of time. And you would never know, like Tyler's just kind of like cool as a cucumber and always seems like, you know, and so to come into a set like that, I think that's when everybody does their best. That's when everybody's the most creative, because, you know, it's sort of, it's such a welcoming environment, and would really always, for the most part, be like, give us his thoughts. We do the scene and be like, try it again. Then he'd give us a couple notes. Then we try it again. Then he'd be like, have fun with it this time. Then, you know, we were doing, we were doing this scene where it's, you know, Missy having sex with David Spade, and he has this dream. Like, yeah. I they were throwing stuff at me that I couldn't, like, I was laughing through saying it.
It was like what?
Like, the leaders and Tyler would be like, try this, try this. I don't remember. I just remember being like, I can't even say it. I can't even say it. And then I slapped, I'm supposed to slap Spade. So obviously you just, I'm just, you know, air slap. I'm like,
yeah.
And then I just slapped him so hard. And so then Tyler's like, cut. And Spade's like, ow. And I'm like, I really hit you so hard. And he's like, I really did.
Is that the one they kept?
What's that?
Is that the take they kept?
I don't know.
Was that was the best slap. We did use that one.
Wow.
It looked the most real because it was.
It was actually, I think it was like a giant red mark on his face. But yeah, no, Tyler and I hadn't worked together before, and we didn't really talk much about the process before. But yeah, it was so fun.
It's, you know, it's a shame that we couldn't do like alt versions of that scene, where, you know, this X scene with Spade, because there was literally like 10 hilarious lines. I remember the editor showed me like 6 different cuts, and I'm like, I don't know, man, there's like 4 of them that I love, you know? So it was tricky. It was kind of a bummer, actually.
Is that, yeah, funny. How?
I feel like that must have been the case, I feel like, with all of your scenes. Because I remember being in scenes and going like watching Lauren do like 10 fucking hysterical things and thinking, like, you need all of those things. Because I don't know how you're going to pick.
We would have like these really long cuts of scenes, and we would show them to, like, you know, Adam and the producers, and they'd be like, you can't have a fucking 14-minute scene, guys. Like, what are you doing? And I'm like, but this is funny, and this is funny, and this is funny. And they're like, yeah, but the movie's gonna be 3.5 hours long. Who do you think you are?
How do you, I mean, that's, I guess, just a true, you know, test in trying to really just pick the stuff you love and getting it down to like, what's funny, like, this is funnier than this, right? Yeah. And just trying to pick the, but how do you, were there times where you're like, I don't fucking care, this is going to be 2 extra minutes longer because people will just love it if it's funny? Because I do sometimes subscribe to that, even though I know that for timing wise, like, yeah, no one's going to watch a 3-hour comedy, but shit, man, if it's funny, the whole, I mean, it's all subjective, right? But if it's like, you think it's funny, it can sustain, then like, why not roll the dice, right?
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's some scenes that there's, you know, probably an extra joke in there, you know, but I was just like, I loved it and I fought for it. And, you know, what we did was we did test screenings. And so, you know, the first test screening, we tried, you know, one pass of jokes. And then the second test screening, we tried a whole different pass of jokes. And so then we just kind of saw, like, and we tried a lot of different stuff. And so, you know, then we went back to some stuff, kept, you know, other stuff. And so it was good, you know, it was helpful.
Sarah, is that kind of doing multiple takes thing, is that something you, you know, had come from before? Like, I'm assuming on Scrubs, right? Like, you guys, similar, like, killer cast. You want everybody to have all their weapons at their disposal. Like, all funny people, quick. Like, you do it. Obviously, the writing's great. So I'm always curious with a show like that, where the writing's on point. And Ty, you can speak to this too, with a movie that you've done your job to get all the jokes there. But then how much, when you do a take and an improv happens right after, do you go, wow, okay, well, that improv was way better than what we wrote?
On this movie, a lot. Yeah. You know? I mean, it happened a lot. I mean, the improvs were great. That's what's so awesome about having, you know, you guys in the movie.
And you don't get upset about that, right? You're just like, well, cool, we got this script as a base and to go off of and find other stuff, right?
No, it's fantastic, because then I get to act like it was my idea. You
know?
You know, like, oh, no, that was my joke. And then I'm just like, no, that was fucking, you know, Sarah or Lauren.
A three-year-old entering the scene here.
Oh, great.
I'll be out there. Okay, come here.
Hello.
Oh my God, Ty, we're still kidless.
We're still kidless. I don't think I can handle it, man.
Dude,
not smart enough.
This pandemic is shining a light on the potential fatherhood that I think might just continue to just be over there.
Are you, Are you going to have kids? Do you know?
I don't know, man. I'm still crushing the uncle game, you know?
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah, the best, right? How, Sarah, we're talking about Tyler and I's fear of becoming parents and and how, you know, even though that seemed like a real sweet interaction between you and your three-year-old, you might have been doing it just because the camera's on, so we don't know.
Oh, you should have seen me when I walked on the other side of the border. I was like, yeah, it was not
fist
pretty.
To mouth, yeah.
Sorry about that, guys. The pandemic recording joy, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, at least you're not like, I've been seeing some of these clips of weatherman bloopers, and yeah, when it's real late and I'm a little high, I YouTube weatherman bloopers. So there was this one of a guy, they're first of all, the ones of just pre-pandemic are great. Like some of these guys, some of these blunders don't cost these people their jobs because they're such highly coveted weather people. But I mean, there's just, it's great. So, but now like there's a guy and he was like doing a thing and then his cat just walked through the thing and it got picked up by some site and they were like, so unprofessional, this guy. And I'm like, dude, the rule book is out the window at this point. If you're doing anything from home, whether it's kids or pets or, you know, you've got some, you know, is it X&M or S&M? What is it? H&M?
H&M, both.
Yeah. Super sexual. If an H&M employee comes out, do an S&M. but yeah,
then
wait.
Then that's good. Just good for H&M.
That's just good, yeah. PR. And we're good all in the game, yeah, of pushing our product. But do, wait, when's the last time, and be honest, that you all have raised the roof? Sarah, I'm going to say yesterday for you.
Yeah, it's about what time is it now? I thought like 3 hours ago.
Oh my God. Who Let the Dogs came out my shuffle the other day, and my dad started doing this against 75. I was like, Dad, first of all, I didn't even know that you knew Raise a Roof was an option. Second of all, go a little higher next time because it just looked like you were trying to like do an air push-up backwards. And
yeah, you gotta go for it. You gotta commit.
You gotta raise the whole roof.
Yeah, either fucking raise it or don't, man.
And once you raise it, you gotta keep it up there.
Yeah. Do you guys
have to stay there for a while?
So when you guys were getting crunk on set, was there like, do you have a little dance party? Did you get a little luau going or like a little beach barbecue?
We had a lot of really fun dinners. Right? Where they got very fun. I don't remember if we had we didn't have a luau. If we had a luau,
yeah,
we would have brought out, those dance parties on the boat.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There was a dance party on the boat.
Yes.
There was a film dance party. There was some not film dance parties on the boat.
I think everybody started dancing and I was like, you know what? We got to shoot that. And then it made the movie.
Man,
except for my character wasn't allowed to dance. Cause that's not like her thing. So I was just like inside my body, just like
just suppressing all the desire to move the way God intended.
That's right. It was really hard.
Wait, Sarah, speak again to the, so on Scrubs, right? Like you guys throwing out ad-libs and whatnot. Was it?
So Bill would always say, do one as exactly as it is on the page. And because obviously the writers on that show were so great and then have fun with it. But yes, in terms of would we do more than one take, I was young and new and loved doing as many takes as possible. So everybody had a song for some reason on the show. And my song was, and all had the same tune. Everyone's song had the same tune, but different words. So mine was Sarah One More Z. So it was Sarah One More Z, Sarah One More Z. She wants one more when she's had 11. And then that last
one. Whoa. Whoa. And then, a baker's dozen.
Yeah, I did. That's awesome. I loved it. Which is one of the reasons I love animation, because you can do something like 20 takes within 1 minute. It's like you're not making 100 people wait while you do that.
Oh, Jay Rowland's been on the podcast, and he's the man. Prank called a Thai restaurant as Rick and Morty at the end of the show.
No, we did not.
Oh, it was amazing. Oh God, I'll send you a link to it. So brilliant. And he was saying how much he lets you guys play, and I was like, that just seems... In comedy, and again, Ty, you can speak to this, like, I know you've done it in everything you've done, like, it's, like, if, you know, the casting part, too, is probably, it only happens, the play stuff only gets to happen if you've put together the group that can do it, right?
Yeah, completely.
Like, how do you deal if you got somebody who's maybe like a, you know, I don't know if you had people on Scrubs, Sarah, or Ty, that you've worked with where they're just straight actors and they're like, they can do comedy and act comedy, but they're like, you know, if you're like, hey, have fun on this one, they'll maybe do something else that's like in context with the scene, but you're like, all right, like, wasn't really a joke there. It was just kind of more information, right? Like, how do you
more
do that?
Information.
Like, thanks. Now we know that about your character. Cool. Your character always wanted to play the oboe. Not funny. Maybe if we get a sequel. how do you like deal with that, both you guys?
You were having a funny you had a funny conversation with Willie Garson that I heard when you were talking about improv and like not adding when.
Oh yes, anding.
Yes.
Yeah. Wait, so how? I mean, what happened? Yeah.
You know. I think you just feel it out. You know, working, it's working. If it's not, it's not. And people tend to know, you know. And like sometimes I'll have actors be like, you know, improvising is not my thing. So if you can give me a line or you give me an alt, it's better. Usually people who think they can improv can improv.
Yeah.
You know, and usually my experience is somebody like, they'll kind of tell you. Totally. I don't know, Sarah, if you agree, but.
Totally. Yeah, exactly. I think that's, you know, if you have experience with it or if you studied it as a kid, like we did these classes growing up that were, focused on improv, but I also did improv dance classes, come in as handy in my life. But I spent an inordinate amount of time, my sister and I both, in contemporary dance classes where Neil would bang on the drums and Anna would yell out colors, and then you had to do whatever that color made you feel.
Okay, so Tyler and I were actually just getting ready to launch a Zoom tutorial contemporary dance class. So this is actually fucking huge.
The answer is yes, Adam. The answer.
What do you guess, Profess? Wait, so improv dance. So how does that play into actual improv? Just to kind of get your mind free.
Well, it's embarrassing because sometimes you'll be in a scene and then somebody will say something that will make, you know, my body feel a certain move, and then it doesn't always apply. But I can't believe how much time we spent doing that and how much my parents spent on those classes.
You're paying them back.
Still waiting for it to come in handy. I'm still waiting for that skill. Like, I'll randomly get to, my parents sent us to school in French all day and German school after school. And on Scrubs, Bill would have me like scream angrily in German because it's such a romance language. And then do some stuff in French. And I was so excited because I was like, finally, those like 10 years of German school after school, there's a purpose.
Yeah. Ty, why another Spade movie? What do you love about Spade? He's so good in this, and I feel like he's like in his, I feel like he's locked. Look, he's always funny, but like these last two, Father of the Year and this one, he's just like so good. It's almost like he's a better actor too, but the dryness, like, it seems more dialed in.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's better to work with, honestly. So that was like A. And then, you know, two, I think he's super funny. And three, like, you know, after Father of the Year did well, we wanted to do something else together and read the script. And, you know, I was just like, man, maybe we'd do like a different style Spade guy. You know, it'd be fun. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, he's just the best. It's so much fun working with him. And, you know, we just kind of keyed in over the script together and got
along. He chimed in on the script too?
I
remember he was telling me when I did Lights Out, and he was concerned how he was going to look because he hadn't been clean shaven like that.
I don't want
a long time, maybe. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, he's never clean shaven, and he wanted to wear a wig, and he doesn't, you know, he looks very different than normal Spade.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I mean, listen, he didn't want to be so cool, you know, and I agreed, like, we didn't want the character to be so cool and suave as regular David Spade is.
Right.
You know, we wanted to, you know, really feel bad for him, a little more schlubby, and so, you know, we went for a different look.
Did him and Lauren have, like, immediate chemistry that seems like, that obviously comes across on screen? Because towards the end, too, you are like, oh, man, I do kind of, like, you know, really liking Lauren and all her crazy attributes. You're like, oh man, there's a really sweet person in there, and Spade's like kind of coming seeing him come around to it and kind of find it endearing, and then they're having so much fun. You're like, yeah, these people should, like,
I mean,
try
it was,
out
it was awesome. I mean, I knew it was gonna work because by the end of the first rehearsal I was just sitting back there silently, and they were just like going back and forth, and I was like, okay, we're good. like, it's perfect. So then fucking, as a director, you're just like hoping it just works. And then like the less you have to do, the better. It's, right. It's really, you know, it's great.
And you guys let her just go full on, like, just go for it, right?
I mean, my notes sometimes would be like, you know, just maybe a little crazier. And she'd be like, I can do that.
Whoa.
She's like, I can do that. And then you just go fucking nuts.
Speaking of a little crazier, I do one of my favorite scenes, which you guys can both talk about, is this scene. I'm going to pull it up right now. Let's see. Give me a sec.
Stunts, while you're pulling it up, the stunts were the craziest stunts I've witnessed on a set, I think, in my entire career. They were fucking insane. They were so ambitious. I mean, I was terrified when Spade's character, stuntman, is going off the railing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Looks so real, by the way.
It's because it was.
It was so real. No, it was super real. There was three separate stuntmen that were flown to Hawaii, right, Tyler?
Yeah, we threw it.
Hand walking, one to fall over the railing.
And then, and we did it on a wire rig, but it's, no, actually we didn't. No, we did the, it was shot in three, yes, you're right, three different guys. So we had a handstand guy, and then we had a guy who could do the flip off the railing, and then guy who could do the drop, because you don't want to miss the drop. And if you hit the wrong spot, you can get hurt. And so we needed somebody who, that was their specialty, was hitting a mark, because we had, basically it was padded. That one area was padded. And so you just need somebody to make sure that they're going to like hit that spot or else you get hurt. And so, you know, our stunt coordinator was amazing, and, you know, he made sure it was all done in a really great and safe way. But yeah, you're watching it and your heart's just like beating a little bit, you know, cause you just, it's safe, but like, you just want to make sure.
Yeah, that stunt took my breath away. And then obviously Lauren's fall.
Oh yeah. The cliff.
Oh my God. That looked really high. I was like, God damn, they're asking to really go for it.
That was shot in three different locations because we couldn't find a cliff that looked right. And so we actually stitched it together in post.
Wow. It
was cool. Yeah, it was fun.
See, this is, had Zoom not existed, we would have not gotten all these behind, peel back the curtain, get these Hollywood secrets. Yeah. I thought cliff shots were one and done, but that's crazy.
Let me say that Sarah's physical comedy is the best I've ever seen in my entire, like, those hits.
Oh,
in
you
the
fucking
freedom,
crushed it, Sarah.
That's her. That's not a double. Everything we used in the movie is all her. We had a stunt double do it after, and it wasn't as good. It just wasn't as good. It was like, I remember the editor going,
fucking bro. Man,
like, she did a wave. I mean, not bagging on the stunt girl, did a great job too, but.
I'll do it, because, she hasn't accepted my LinkedIn request. You crushed it. That goes such a long way too, when you can like nail that shit, right? It's just not having to, let's pull up the scene and then you guys can break it down for me. Cool.
Yeah.
Cause this is one of my favorite scenes in the film. All right, here we go. Do you see it?
Yep.
Oh, I don't yet. Oh.
Nice. Do you see it? And what the fuck's going on? There we go. There we go. Wait, you saw it, didn't you? Okay, here we go.
Oh, I lost it, but that's okay. Nope, I know this movie so well, I can just hear it. I can hear it. I know exactly what's going on.
And I saw a tiny screenshot, so I know where we're going.
I see the Netflix, you know, the wrong Missy at the bottom right now.
Oh, now I see Lauren's face.
Yeah, yeah.
And her eyes look like she's about to.
Is it on now?
It's not playing, but I see your curtain. Yeah, yeah. If you hit play, I think it'll work.
God damn it. Here we go. Nope. On? Do you see it?
It's not playing, no.
I wish I could tell you that I saw it, but I don't.
You know what?
Every Canadian cell in me wants to say yes.
it was what, the threesome scene?
Yeah.
I can't see it.
You know what? Maybe it's because, and this could be, man, maybe Netflix doesn't allow you to pull shit into Zoom.
Oh, that's probably what it is.
That's probably what it is. Well, okay. Break that scene down for me. Yeah, could you read
it? I'll see it right now.
Yeah. How many times did you have to shoot that? And how close did Lauren get to actually headbutting you?
Oh, the way it was choreographed was super cool. Like Tyler said, the stunt coordinator was awesome. And so, you know, it would be it was once maybe that we got a little close, but it was kind of like it was shot where the camera was there. And then, you know, her head comes here and I'm far enough away that I can just kind of, you know, whip my head back. But it's fun. You don't usually get to do physical comedy like that. And I always love it. It's always my favorite thing. It was during Scrubs too. Like we would always, you know, vote for doing it ourselves if we could.
Oh yeah.
If the option was given to us, except for weirdly bungee jumping. We were asked, Zach and I were asked to bungee jump together off a bridge.
Oh shit.
And we said no. And, because I, you know, I feel like there's enough out there about bungee jumping that sometimes you can
get hurt your back.
Oh yeah.
Bad.
So we were like, if it's possible to do stunt doubles. So it was actually really cute because the two people that doubled us, it was her first stunt ever. And they fell in love and got married, our doubles.
Oh,
whoa.
At the beginning of the scrub. So then they both doubled us the whole time.
Pixar, where's that story?
So that's adorable. And then, but then we had to do a press tour in Brazil. And Zach and I and Donald all went hang gliding. And so Bill Lawrence, our boss, was like, you wouldn't bungee jump off a bridge, like in a sort of like controlled environment, but then you
Threw
yourselves off a cliff attached to a kite in Rio.
Like, yeah, but it was a really strong kite.
It was a really strong kite.
Oh my God.
It actually wasn't a really strong kite and it was terrifying.
Yeah, of course.
But, you sign your life away and you go on this whole thing. It was nuts. But anyways, large digression.
Had you kissed a gal before?
What's that?
Had you kissed a gal before or was that the first time?
All the time. I think four times in Scrubs, because there would always be these fantasy sequences like where I think there was one threesome fantasy sequence, but it was just kind of like the very ending of it.
Right.
And then one time with Mandy Moore on Scrubs.
Whoa, Dear Diary.
Dear Diary.
I mean, come
Dear
on.
Diary.
Who hasn't had a Scrubs fantasy about Mandy Moore?
anytime you get like the chance to do physical comedy, it's always the most,
you love it, right?
Yeah. Fun. I love it. Yeah. No, the other day, one of my pandemic classes, because we're doing homeschooling, with this pandemic, we're quarantining with my sister's family. So we have six kids, three dogs and a cat.
Is that great?
Is it great?
Yeah.
Are they listening? I don't know how soundproof this is. It's not.
Oh, you're fine. Be honest. This is a safe space.
It is great. It's actually really great. I mean, obviously there are great parts and hard parts, but the best part is just like, it's spreading out the intensity in the sense that like everybody
more
always
people.
Has someone to kind of play with and more
people. Oh yeah. That's the problem when you have less, obviously it's like more responsibility to keep those entertained. Yeah. It's just you. And if you got other parental advisors, then it's not all on you.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And my eighth, you know, so that piece. So anyways, one of my pandemic lessons that I taught was pratfalls.
Oh, that's cool. I would have liked to take that class.
We just started with it. The best was how into it my three-year-old was. She's just gives her, like, we did a giant stack of books on the floor. And I was like, so you're walking along and you want to kind of time it so that you turn back. So it makes it look like you don't see. And then you go, so she just like launches herself from these books. And it wasn't like a soft carpet. It was kind of one of those like really hard ones. And was giving her, and she was like, let's do it again. So
that's incredible.
How about that? Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Adam.
No, it's your show, Tyler. Yeah.
It's about time.
Go ahead.
Last night. No, I just wanted to tell, there's another stunt Sarah did in the movie with Schneider.
Oh yeah.
That was not scripted. Sarah was like, hey, we got an idea. And then they just did it. I'm like, what the fuck? That on the first take, it looked so fucking real. I just could not believe it. I looked over at the producer. I'm like, how the hell did that just happen so perfectly?
That's
amazing.
It was
unbelievable.
So you guys were just chumming it up, just coming up with.
Yeah.
That probably just happens a lot, right? When you're waiting in between takes, like, what about we do this? What about that?
Was that the Schneider running around?
Yeah, the Schneider, or the ring around the rosy thing, yeah.
That was really fun. And I got it's so much fun when you get to do, like, bruising makeup, and I got to have this, like, crazy.
Oh, yeah.
It's so fun.
Well, the movie is, like I said, so fucking funny. Ty, you crushed it. Again, you're a beast, and you're quietly going to take over Hollywood. And so I love that I have your phone number. Sarah... I've been a fan of you forever. You're also a beast and even cooler. Thanks for thanks for doing this. Because the roll of the dice. You know, Tyler's probably like, hey, he's my buddy. And you're like, yeah, but fucking what does that mean? Like,
I think the dots were coming up. You haven't even texted yet. And I was like, yes, please.
Okay, good. The human connection. Yeah, you're unbelievable. Can we, I want to do a quick quarantine Q&A to close this out. Is that cool? You guys got a few more minutes?
Sure.
Yeah. Love
it. Okay, great. So first question, what's your guys' quarantine snack, your go-to quarantine snack? What's getting you through the queue?
Salt and vinegar chips.
Oof. That's so funny, Todd. I have the exact same one.
Really? Kettle?
What I was going to say is my quarantine snack, someone asked me, just a friend of mine, we were talking about it, and mine is weirdly hot chocolate quesadillas and salt and vinegar kettle chips.
Yeah,
and
kettle, the big blue bag.
Big blue bag, not little, that does not get far enough. The big blue bag of kettle chips and hot chocolate and quesadillas. Those were my morning sickness like go-tos. And so I don't know if there's some sort of like weird comforting.
Yes, 1,000%.
To me, but those are my comfort foods.
Tyler, by the way, if Kettle decides to ever shoot some commercials, they're definitely using one shot of you going, the big blue bag. That was fucking adorable on so many levels. One take, you got the job. Tell the other kids to go home and tell them to fuck up. Well, no, the first take was better, but yeah. All right, cool. That's a good snack.
That's why I don't even cast myself.
No.
So I won't even cast myself. Everybody's like, you should give yourself a little part. I'm like, no, I would cut myself out. I'm terrible.
Well, first of all, you're not. But yeah, I was going to ask, like, how come you're not doing like what a lot of comedy directors do and throw themselves in a little scene here?
Because seeing myself act makes me sick is the truth. Right. But, you know.
Like seeing yourself on your wall behind yourself is heaven.
Because if I could just pick one picture, you know, that would be good.
What do you guys miss more, sports or bars? And this could be bars that you go to. It could be granola bars. Maybe you've got an allergic reaction that you found out about during this pandemic. So like, I really miss a good chewy. A good Quaker Oats chewy.
At the risk of sounding cheesy, sports bars, I don't know, you know.
Sports bars? Yeah.
I don't watch a lot of sports.
So what does that mean? What is that? Like, what do you?
Well, swing bars.
This is a popular answer. I don't really
like.
But like, you've socially watched like a game, right? That's
Importance. Of importance. Yeah. Hockey. I mean, hockey.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. You know,
that's wow. Hockey. Seattle's about to get a hockey team. I'm fired up.
In like a month.
Oh yeah, I think hockey's got a good chance to make. I mean, there's so much. They're covered. You can't get COVID when you're that covered.
Oh, believe me. I recently tried to learn how to play hockey. By the way.
Ooh.
Yes, I can show you this.
Hockey pratfalls.
Was this okay. Yeah, I'm not good at it. I'm terrible at it. My sister and I, all of our kids play. So we were like, we need to learn so we can play. We can do stick and puck with the kids.
Yeah.
We buy all the gear and then we stepped on the ice after that. And I was like, oh shit, this is actually not doable at all.
I know.
Oh,
what a great pick.
That is a good pick.
I have the, I've got the jersey. So now I just got to learn how to do
it. Learn how to skate. Yeah. I know. Once I saw Tanya, I was like, Tanya Harding might've been a little bit of a fucking head case, but like, man, crushed on the, like, holy shit, man. And like, obviously, like they did some maneuvering film wise, but if you go back and like YouTube, after you've like YouTubed like Chicken McNugget drive through dad fight, go to Tanya Harding. The title, everything is in the title, but Tanya Harding, like skate video, like she was unreal. Just, you know, a little was going to the beat of her own drum, but that's cool.
Oh, she's incredible.
Hockey, if it comes back, would be huge for the world. All right. What's more fun? Hanging with your family or scrolling through Instagram and hate watching people's stories?
Oh, that is very easy. That is way too easy. Do you even need me to answer that?
Well, all right. How about this? Then in a follow-up, what's been catching your eye on the gram? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I've gotten into TikTok. I'm losing my mind on.
Oh my!
Have you done it?
By the way, after we shoot the Kettle commercial, same director's doing a TikTok commercial, opening with Tyler. You know, I'm getting into TikTok.
Dude, I am.
Hi, you're good.
All I do.
You're good.
is I literally just search hashtag wrong Missy on TikTok like every day, and I just keep refreshing it to see what people are doing.
And
it's funny. People like take sound bites and they reenact them and shit. It's pretty funny.
By the way, so many.
Molly Sims did one.
Yeah, Molly Sims did one. Yeah.
Great one.
Oh yeah, Molly Sims, so good. Dude, that's another great thing about having a quotable movie and so many sound bites is that, like, yeah, this TikTok generation is like doing a lot of those lip syncing videos and like, shit, man, that's extra grassroots promo, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because you hear the audio and like, that's fucking funny. And even a person just lip syncing along is funny. And then you're like, all right, like, I mean, if you aren't any person in their right mind with eyes and a brain and a functioning set of lips should be able to pull up Netflix. I don't know why lips has anything to do with it, but you should be able to like figure out and find the movie. And if it's in that number one slot, then I mean, dude, right. it's just right there.
Up. It's not hard to find. It just says number one beside it.
Wait, real quick. Have you gotten any? Oh yeah. Have you gotten any info about what country globally is like if you had to do a press tour right now and you could, and they were like, yo, fucking sorry guys, but Pakistan fucking love Spade and they want to treat you like kings. Like, is there one spot where they're like,
well, I already told my girlfriend that I'm going to move to wherever the movie's the biggest.
Like Michael Jordan when the Dream Team was playing in Barcelona.
Dude, if we're big in Japan, I'll fucking move to Japan. I don't care. You're like, I'll go do Japanese commercials. It'd be incredible.
Be able to walk into a Hooters in Shibuya and just be like, yo, give me a Miller Lite. And they're like, no problem, Ty. Can we call you Ty?
Okay. You know, I don't. I just get like pictures of all the places it's number one. And so I don't know the actual numbers, but
gotcha.
I wish I did.
But he has a lot of pictures.
I got a lot of pictures.
Wait, Sarah, what was your answer?
What was my answer?
Your Instagram or something that you're scrolling through that you're
that's something scrolling through. Well, I actually weirdly was not on social media that much. And then just over it's kind of been a pandemic thing for me. So just being on Instagram, period, I've learned how to like do all the fancy things, like pull up little dancing guys in the corner and was kind of holding back for some reason. And now I'm just all in.
Going for it.
And it is kind of like, it's fun to see what people are doing. And I've gotten some ideas from it. TikTok, very new too. And just with the wrong Missy TikToks I've seen. That one girl who did the one of Lauren's piece running through.
Oh yeah, I messaged her being like, I love this. Can you can we repost this? And she was like, who are you? Why are you like, you know what? You know, she didn't believe. She was like, you're imitating. She thought I was spamming her, and so I sent it to Spade, and Spade posted it, and then it was like 10,000 messages from her, like, oh my god, she was just freaking.
That's amazing.
All right, if you had one song to start your day, what would it be? Like you wake up, you know what I'm saying? So here's what mine would be like. Caribbean Queen, I'm a tearing the same thing. And then brush my teeth.
Like a
shower.
Like a prayer, you know?
What's that?
Like a prayer.
You just say like a prayer? Tyler. Mm-hmm. I love you even more than ever.
Wow. By the way, that is... Okay, and a follow-up, Caribbean Queen, also Whitney Houston, Dance Like Somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And then Pepper and A Little Baby's Got Back.
Ooh, to start the day.
You
know, quarantine,
you just got to, like, not care about what anybody thinks.
No.
If you want to listen to Like a Prayer,
yeah,
you listen to Like a Prayer.
Have you always been a Madonna fan, Ty?
It's a recent thing, but, I've kind of just run out of things to listen to. So
tweet that to her.
Yeah, sorry, but it's the best now. It's the best.
I pretty much listen to everything, so I might as well try on this.
I just keep going like 10 years back. Like I started out with Current, and then I went to the 2010s. And then,
I like that.
A friend of mine just sent me their Spotify 90s playlist, and so that's been – kind of amazing.
Is there OMC's How Bizarre on there?
I don't think there is, but I think I'm
Amazon. I mean, come on. Got to be some wallflowers, probably some gin blossoms.
Yes.
Probably some new kids on the block had a bunch of hits. Who are those guys? LMFAO, right? Two hits. Summer Girls. They wrote Summer Girls.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
I like girls that wear Abercrombie and Fitch. Remember those guys?
Oh, yeah.
Those guys are
wild. The summer.
I like the summer. I mean,
was it Mark McGrath? Was that? No.
That's Sugar Ray, baby.
Oh, so good. It's got some Lisa Loeb in there.
Ooh, give me some Lisa Loeb any Tuesday of the month. All right.
Alanis.
Alanis, boy, she's doing some musical, I think.
I'm there.
You're doing an Alanis musical. Yeah, I'm there.
Yeah, I'll be in watch.
Are you guys more fun drunk or high?
Drunk.
Yeah, drunk.
Yeah, good answer.
100% drunk.
100%. Why do we pause? Why do we think for
yourself? Well, you know, it's like, yeah, it's like I enjoy one more,
yeah.
But I think other people.
Others? Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
My girlfriend's always like, why don't you drink more? And I'm like, I don't know. I just don't. And she's like, drink. So It must be.
My sister, I was with my nieces and sister, their twin girls are 10, and we were having a, you know, I think we're making margaritas, and I was like, Nat, you got to have one. And she's like, no, I don't really drink anymore. And she's like, I mean, I thought about maybe having one tonight just to let loose. And one of my nieces goes, I don't like when mommy drinks. Like, it's, please don't. And I was like, oh, you don't like it, Brookie? She goes, no, it's just she gets weird and like really giggly and just like she's got so much energy. And my sister goes, you mean I'm happy? she goes, you don't want your mom to feel good about herself and enjoy life? It was great.
That's so funny.
All right. Favorite scene in the movie, whether you favorite scene to film or going back watching to watch that you maybe hadn't really remembered from the filming experience. Mm.
I mean, the threesome's pretty up there on the top for me.
Oh yeah.
You know, I think that's probably my favorite.
Good. Great scene.
Yeah.
A lot to it.
Yeah.
Unexpected too, by the way. Like real quick, as a viewer, that's the best too when you can get the the comedy knockouts of just unexpected. Like I was like, okay, they're gonna get into this, and then you know something's gonna happen at some point. But when it started out, I was like, are we just gonna kind of see this go down? And then like the headbutt, and then multiple, and then you. By the way, Sarah, you're like just kind of resolve of like, okay, I'm just gonna go. Was fucking perfect when you just
and you know that song is Rob Schneider's daughter. She sings.
I did not know that till I saw it when we were all texting each other. Yeah. I had no idea. It's fucking amazing. How did that whole thing go down?
Actually, it was my girlfriend was listening to the song, and we were watching a rough cut of the scene, and the song that was in there was cheesy as shit, and the scene felt weird, and it just wasn't funny, and it was like. And we were just like kind of listening to her like, holy shit, that could be funny as shit. His daughter's Elle King, she's doing a lot of great shit. And then I don't know, it just kind of worked and she was cool enough to let us have it. It was a live recording actually. She's never recorded it for real. And so we had to take out the clapping a little bit in post, which was really hard.
Oh my God, it was so great. I love that. Some of my favorite scenes, because obviously like we're not there to see a couple of the like the dates between Spade and Lauren just kill me. Jackie Sandler's dance number in the talent show was everything.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it just like the way she's kind of like looking confused as like puking, and she's like got all these incredible moves.
Oh yeah,
I love that. I loved and obviously the shadow dancing, spelling sharp instead of short.
By the way, Swartzen's so hammered in that scene. I mean, so great. Like, just maybe the last true look we got of drunk Swartz. I mean, so good, though. So good.
So funny, that scene. That was another scene where he'd come out and just say something different every time. It was so funny.
So good.
And then stuff that, like, just parts of it that some of my favorite parts were, like, Tyler, you did such an amazing job on all those montages. Like, the one of, like, Lauren losing her shit at that first mixer. And just, like, grinding up on Spade and doing everything. I mean, that was amazing.
That was a fun one. Yeah. That might be my second favorite. Yeah.
What's that?
That's my second favorite, I think.
Okay. I love
actually,
that.
No, when Lauren in the hotel room goes and tries to grab Spade's dick. Because that was all improv. She just fucking did it. I don't think I've ever laughed so hard in my life. And he was like, it was such a real reaction from him because we'll cross shoot again. So we had his reaction too. So funny.
Last question is an individual one for each of you. Sarah, what were you more starstruck by? Filming Ernest Goes to School or A Very Muppet Christmas Movie? Who are you more starstruck from?
Jim Varney, I mean,
come on.
I mean, a ledge. He was.
Is he Canadian too?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't, not that I know. I don't know. I don't know that piece of trivia.
Okay.
Even though I do have a roster of all Canadians just kind of, you know, scrolling
in my brain all the time.
He was amazing. And he was, it was, I was like 15 and he would sit me down and tell me the importance of, like, you know, still going to school. And he would just tell you about like some interesting thing about history over lunch. He was such an interesting guy. And then obviously, yes, Miss Piggy and Kermit the Frog made me very nervous to work with.
Well, yeah, that, had you worked with like Muppets, puppets at all?
No, it's so weird. It's like, there's like the puppeteers are underneath the gurney.
Yeah.
And so like, you're just having a conversation with somebody beside you. And then all of a sudden, like, they'll stick their hands up the Muppet butt and then turn, and then in Piggy's voice, just join in just when we're shooting the shit in between takes as Miss Piggy. It was incredible.
By the way, Muppet Butt definitely sounds like a cool, like 90s Hootie and the Blowfish cover band, or like some sort of drug that you, like, you always are looking to buy like somewhere in like Eastern Europe, but they never have it. Like, it's always like,
yeah, Muppet Butt's so hard to come across.
It's tough to get. Like, you got to know somebody, you got to have a guy. Ty, what was more difficult? Directing Jared Sandler in this film or in the last film?
Ooh. Top last one, because he had to ride a motorcycle.
Yeah.
He couldn't learn how to ride a motorcycle. And so
that's tough.
Stunt coordinator was, well, it's hard. It's very hard to ride a motorcycle. And so I didn't want him to get hurt. And so he was like finally getting good at it. He was like, I can do it. And I'm like,
it's a great Jared, by the way.
So I was like, I can do it. I know how to ride a motorcycle. Don't you interfere with it. And so I'm like, I'm not letting him fucking die on my watch.
No.
So we had to we did a rig so that he could, you know, he was basically on the process trailer with the motorcycle, and it was hard, actually. It was hard to do because whatever, it was tricky, but he's a good dude. He's funny as shit.
Crushed it. He was so funny, man. You gave him a lot of stuff to do, and
he was great.
All his looks are so great.
Waiting into the pool when Winstead's there, and he's just
like, oh, no. I mean, just walked right in. Like, very funny.
I'm plugging this in.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, Jared's a 10. He is funny as shit, man.
Yeah, he crushed it, man. It's well, the movie is so fucking funny. You guys are the shit. The Wrong Missy, Netflix, everywhere. Well, Netflix. have you been, so when they started to, there was like billboards all over New York. I saw you like taking pictures of, and I mean, so many dope reviews. Do you guys pay attention to that stuff at this stage, or do you go, it's number one on Netflix, that's all I'm really paying attention to?
I read the good ones.
Yeah.
I read the first line. I try to tell where it's going. And then I decide if I'm going to read the rest of it. Yeah. I try to get a feel, you know?
Yeah. Have you been hit up by family and friends? Because, I mean, everyone is just consuming everything now. So it's kind of like, you know, again, unfortunately, like such a good time for a comedy to be out and one of this magnitude. Are you... do you still get hit up by friends and family, like just saying how much they dig stuff, or people that, you know, out of the woodworks, like old teachers or people, or, you know what I'm saying? Does that happen for either of you?
Yeah, I think that's like one of the coolest parts about social media and Twitter and stuff. You actually hear from people directly that you never would. And then, yeah, we've been hearing from family and friends who've been loving watching it. And yeah, man, oh man, is that ever true? What a time to, you know, have something make you laugh. Like, I had seen it a couple months ago, I guess, when they, you know, first kind of come out, and but then rewatched it with everybody. We did like a Twitter live watch party.
Oh yeah.
The day it was released. And it just feels so good to laugh right now. It's like, it's the perfect movie for this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did, my old teacher hit me up to do a video for the class, and I was so excited. And so I spent so much time. I tried to make it funny. And then like a couple days later, she just emails me. She goes, maybe you can do something different. She goes, I don't know if I want to show this. I'm like,
what did you do? You should just send her a shot of you being like, the big blue bag.
I don't know. It either wasn't funny, or I just ate shit, man. I don't know. She didn't find it funny.
I mean, go ahead, Sarah.
No, I was going to say, like, you get what you get, and you don't get upset. Like, you can't come back and be like,
no, I mean, I walked my niece's principal when she, I did her classroom show and tell. I was her show and tell for Zoom. And so I'm doing all these jokes. You got all the kids, a few teachers, the principal wanted to join in. She's like, this is my uncle. He tells jokes and he has famous friends. I'm like, all right, thanks for the intro, Brooke. And then I was like, I'll take it from here. I was like, hey guys, I'm Adam, blah, blah. And I had a bunch of like, I tried to, you know, tell them how I grew up in Seattle and how cool it is to live there and how they, you know, they should, you know, be like, I've traveled everywhere and Seattle's the coolest and you get outside and all this and take advantage of that. And my favorite subject was math because it was my hardest one. I worked really hard and tried to get good, just tried to, you know, give them some sort of an inspiring message. And then I had a bunch of kid jokes to tell and they're all guessing the punchlines adorably, right? Like I'd be like, why did the teacher wear the sunglasses? And they're like, because she thought she was cool and she's not. And I was like, no, nah, all right, easy, Nathan. It's actually because her students were too bright. And then they all just lose their fucking minds. There's this little Asian kid named Andy who was just like doing that, like at home. After a while, I was like, dude, it's coming off condescending. Like laugh like you would normally laugh. And then I did, here's how I walked the principal. I go, what did the traffic light say to the truck? Then I'll guess. And then I try to do a voice for this one. I go, stop watching me. I'm changing. And the principal just does this. And signs off. And then my sister texts me. She's like, what did you do? I was like, I did like a voice and like a, it's like, you did something about somebody taking their clothes off. I go, what? No.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
Oh man. You That's can't hilarious. Even.
Oh my God.
I mean, fucked up the show and tell. I mean, the kids were losing it, and that's all I cared about. Like,
right.
I did a fun voice. Don't look at me. I'm changing. You know, just some weird 2020, you know. Anyway.
You're bringing joy to children during a pandemic.
Yeah. But the principal shook her head and signed off. I was like, you could have shaken your head and just kind of stuck around for another 3 to 4 minutes. But, like, to see her picture then pop up, I was like, hey, but, you know. Anyway. Again, The Wrong Missy is one of the funniest movies I've seen in a long time. Ty, you crushed it. I'm so proud of you. Sarah, you're a gangster. It's very nice to meet you. And
it was so fun.
And hopefully Ty puts us in something soon so we can you know, continue the good times.
Dude, thank you so much. This was so fun.
Sarah, yes, it was fun.
Thank you for coming on.
Sarah, yeah, thanks.
No, truly, thanks for having me.
Extra treat. Well, enjoy your weekend, guys. What are you gonna do tonight?
Nice too. Do tonight? I mean, I have so many plans. I have like a really full Sunday.
Yeah?
No.
No. Yeah.
I'm going to go out and just stare at the billboards for 2 hours. While they're there.
Well, I'm probably going to watch The Wrong Missy again. Streaming now on Netflix.
Hey!
That's the right answer. I'm going to go eat a big blue bag of kettle chips and stop.
Fuck yeah. All right. Well, guys, thanks again. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Adam.
Bye, Sarah. Bye, Ty. Yeah. Bye, guys.